Secretary. May we have a roll call? And I guess I would point out to everybody that we are on the air. This is all being recorded, so look that way to the camera if you so desire. And so let's have a roll call.
Governor Bruce Rauner. Secretary Randall Blankenhorn.
Present.
Chairman Schillerstrom.
Here.
Director Bank.
Here.
Director Brooks. Director Dotson. Director Gomez.
Here.
Director Gonzalez. Director Johnson.
Here.
Director Sauer.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Very well. We'll proceed to the first item on our agenda, which is public comment. We put aside a portion of each meeting to hear from the public. I would ask you, if you are interested in speaking, to please fill out one of these yellow cards. I think they are right over there by the trooper. And we will call you. I would ask you to keep your remarks concise and as much to the point as possible. And hopefully speak no longer than 3 minutes. If you speak a little longer than that, I won't cut you off, but we do have a lot of commentators, and then we have a fairly long agenda today. So our first speaker today is Reverend Tyrone Kreider. He is from Country Club Hills, and he is the chairman of the Southland Chamber of the U.S. Minority Contractors Association. Reverend?
Stay here.
You can stay there if you would like, or alternatively, you can speak from the microphone. Whatever works best for you.
I stay right here.
Okay.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Tyrone Kreider. I'm the Southland Chairperson of the United States Minority Contractors. I'm the Southland Chairperson of the United States Minority Contractors Association. I'm here representing Reverend Mary Bullock, who is our chairperson of the United States Minority Contractors Association. We are here to express our support and encourage you in terms of diversity and inclusion. We are excited about working with the Illinois Tollway Authority, getting opportunities for minorities. It is our goal to work with you for jobs, to work with you for contracts, and to work with you to have people have the opportunity to make a good living. And so we want to support your initiatives with diversity and inclusion. We also want to support training opportunities for young people to go into fields that would, if they're not going into college, they could go into trades and training programs that you have. But on behalf of Reverend Larry Bullock, we want to thank your chairman for his commitment to diversity and inclusion, your executive director for the commitment to build this program and this initiative, and we want to be a part in any way we can to give people an opportunity for jobs and business development.
Thank you, Reverend Kreider. Next is William Balthus, and he was with the TMA Lake Cook Group, and he would like to talk about in support of Route 53 and 120. Mr. Balthus.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for receiving my comments on the Route 53 extension. The TMA, or Transportation Management Association of Lake Cook, is a 20-year-old business association in Cook and Lake County. Represents about 40,000 employees and about over 40 companies, such as Allstate, Baxter, Walgreens, Abbott, Abbey, and many others. We have been involved with the Route 53, Route 120 project for over a decade, and there have been many studies on this. We're at a crossroads right now, as you well know, because we're ending a BRAC study that's in Lake County looking at financial feasibility and design and environment, and now the next step is to move forward with an environmental impact study, and that's a decision your board will make. And I'd like to say on behalf of our board We support that wholeheartedly. We hope that it represents a lot of positive things for Lake County, 25,000 jobs. It will reduce congestion by 5 hours per week for the area, and it will really help our whole region. The CMAC group supported that as the number one priority, and we hope that your organization, the Tollway, who is a partner with Lake County and the BRAC committee right now, move forward that study. It's very important for Lake County, but very important for this region and for this state for a whole variety of reasons, which I said. So I hope your organization, the Tollway, sees the value of that and moves forward with as soon as possible, maybe today, but maybe later, but we hope you understand the urgency of moving forward expeditiously. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Balthus. Next, we have Mr. Steve Park. He is from the Lake County Transportation Alliance, and he would like to speak on Route 53 also. Mr. Park.
Thank you. I'm Steve Park. I'm the Executive Director of the Lake County Transportation Alliance, which is a not-for-profit organization of government and business interests in Lake County, trying to encourage better transportation of all kinds, not just roads, but transit and bicycles throughout the county, in favor predominantly of two factors. One is improving the quality of life in Lake County and the northern part of the Chicago region, and the other is to obviously improve economic development, which has that effect on quality of life as well. I'm here to speak in favor of your continuing support of Route 53. As we have gone through the Blue Ribbon Committee, as we have moved forward with the Finance Committee, and now are completing the efforts of the Land Use Committee, it is up to this organization to push the agenda further to move 53 to the next stage. There are obvious transportation benefits to this, which are critical, not just to Lake County, but to the Chicago region. Trying to address long-term needs, as CMAP has identified in the GO-TO 2040 plan. There are obvious economic benefits, both construction and long-term, to the state, to the employers, and to the employees. Trying to encourage better employment opportunities of all kinds throughout the northern region of Illinois as an alternative to moving across the state line or locating outside of Illinois entirely. And there are obvious environmental benefits to this project, as distributed in the BRAC report, both the additional land that would be acquired without 53 that could not occur, and the long-term maintenance of the wetland and sensitive areas that are intended to be a corollary, not just an add-on to the Route 53 improvement. That will have, again, benefits at all levels of quality of life for the county, the state, and the locality. This project is the poster child, if you will, for a sustainable project with the three legs of better transportation, trying to improve the quality of life so we reduce the travel time, of economic benefits, and also environmental benefits. The county has spoken in more than one occasion, and most recently is 75-76% say let's move forward, and that is distributed throughout the county that we want this road to be built, and it can be built in an environmentally sensitive manner, which is what Lake County is all about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Park. Next is Mr. Larry Hill, and he is from Hawthorne Woods, and he would like to speak about the extension of Illinois Highway 53. Mr. Hill.
I'll state right down here. I can talk long enough. Name is Larry Hill, Vice President of Lake County Contractors Association. Been with the contractors who built major tollways, highways, residential, retail development in Lake County and all the surrounding counties. Resident in Lake County for 30 years, resident in Hawthorne Woods for 10 years, and director of Hawthorne Woods Country Club, HOA. couple of comments here is just need you guys to look at it, proceed with the engineering and environmental study so we can start getting the correct answers out there, because we are hit, like Steve said, some stalls here where people are getting incorrect information. We all know this morning I left Hawthorne Woods at 6 o'clock. Gilmer Road, 2 mile back up just to get to the middle of the road, because we have everybody coming out of McHenry County coming through. So this road is very much needed. We have a lot of railroad tracks crossing at grade crossings now because of the EG&E. So it just, we need to keep pushing it forward. We had 76% of the people say they want it. We have 40 mayors in Lake County that are pushing for it. We do have a few. But the concern that I have is we're trying to get developers to come into the county, not like Uline, who left the county because they couldn't get their people to work, and now they're making an addition to their building in Pleasant Prairie already, only 3 years after they opened. So in another comment, I drive 30,000 miles a year. The rest of the tollways are looking great. You guys are really doing a great job. So please continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Next is Sean Fitzgerald from Grays Lake. He's with the Laborers Union Local 152, and he would like to discuss the EIS authorization and funding. Mr. Fitzgerald.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to provide public comment on the authorization and funding of the EIS study for the Illinois 53 extension. My name is Sean Fitzgerald. The Illinois 53 extension is especially important to me. I'm a member of the Lake County Transportation Alliance. I'm also the president and business manager for the Laborers Union Local 152 of Lake County, which represents about 1,100 members that live and work in the area. And I'm also a lifelong resident of Lake County. The Illinois 53 extension will expand access and ease the constant traffic congestion that all of us local residents have experienced for decades. I know that the studies have shown that future travel times will be reduced by up to 31%, and the time saved would result in about 20 extra hours a month that could be spent way more productively. I live in Grays Lake, and this will make a real difference in the lives of Lake County residents, especially for us in western Lake County, because the major problem is we have no viable north-south corridor available nearby to handle the incredible amount of commuters. So what we have every morning is this massive migration of vehicles inching slowly east towards 94, which is really our only north-south option. And everything is reversed at the end of the day. Even more important than easing the congested roads, this project will be a catalyst for economic growth in our community, and it's been projected that this project will have a total economic impact of $17 billion to $19 billion through road construction and commercial and residential development, not to mention the creation of 25,000 to 35,000 new full-time jobs. So today, I ask you to please authorize and fund the EIS study. It's a critical step moving forward with this project. As a resident, I can assure you that Lake County's local economy cannot afford any further delays. Thank you for your time and your service to our state.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald. Next is Mr. Tim Marabella, and he is from the Lake County Construction Association, and he would also like to speak about the 53 extension. Mr. Marabella.
Thank you very much for your time. Like I said, I'm Tim Marabella with the Lake County Contractors Association. I just wanted to second what we've heard from Mr. Park, Mr. Hill, and Mr. Fitzgerald as well. You have put an incredible amount of time and energy, and we have put an incredible time and energy into the research that's been done on this project. I've been at a bunch of the committee meetings, and you have some very intelligent people that are with Lake County that have Lake County's best interest at heart in place. So just continuing on with this study so we can get the questions answered that need to be answered, I think, is the biggest thing we can focus on right now to show everybody that it is a good idea. It is something that's viable and it's going to help the community. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mirabella. Next, we have Ms. Susan Zingle, and she is from Wadsworth, and she is with the Sierra Club, and she would also like to speak on Route 53. Ms. Zingle.
Good morning. My name is Susan Zingle. I do live in Wadsworth, Illinois. I'm speaking today on behalf of Evan Craig, who was not able to be here. He is chairman of the Lake County Woods and Wetlands chapter of the Sierra Club. And we've heard a lot about all this wonderful consensus about Route 53. I wanted to tell you about an event we had this past weekend. Sierra Club had the advantage of being able to use the Forest Preserve at Heron Creek, which is about half a mile from the proposed route of 53. We had a marvelous turnout. We also had beautiful weather and a bluesgrass band, which didn't hurt. But people came to talk about 53 and look at the impact it would have on the community. One of our attendees was Mr. Aaron Mayer, who is president of the Sierra Club nationally. And this issue is now on the Sierra Club's national radar. As he liked to point out, over 98% of Sierra Club members vote. So for those who think that this is a slam dunk and that there's no opposition, please be advised that there are plenty of people who are very concerned about this. My understanding is that the CMAP Land Use Committee is going to be issuing their land use plan this afternoon, and that they plan to have public meetings in October. And I think you will get to see much more clearly how the public feels about Route 53 at those open hearings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Zingle. Next is Andrea Alvarez. She is from Elmhurst. She is with the Citizens Advocacy Center, and she would like to discuss the Open Meetings Act. And I guess one thing, we're being told by AV that the best way for them to record this and to publish it is for all of our public speakers to please come to the podium. So in the future, please go there. Ms. Alvarez, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Andrea Alvarez, and I'm a community lawyer with Citizen Advocacy Center. Citizen Advocacy Center is a nonprofit, nonpartisan legal organization with 20 years of history of building democracy in Illinois. Concerned citizens contacted CAC after the Lake County Board presented on the Route 53 extension at your last meeting. They reported that the presentation was not publicly posted on the agenda before the meeting, which I independently verified. Failing to list items for discussion on the agenda thwarts the purpose of the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act is clear. It declares it to be the public policy of this state that its citizens should be given advance notice of and the right to attend all meetings at which any business of a public body is discussed or acted upon in any way. This project is the public's business. Best practices dictate that the board should be thorough in adequately representing items for discussion on its agenda, even though this was not a technical violation of the Open Meetings Act to fail to include a discussion item on the agenda that is not voted on at the meeting. The agenda should reflect all items that will be presented and discussed so that the public may have adequate notice to further research the public business before the board and to prepare comments, if any. The public policy of Illinois states that it is the rights of citizens to be informed of the business undertaken by public bodies like yours. Citizens are bound to question whether backroom discussions are occurring when the public body fails to heed a most important mechanism of the Open Meetings Act that is essential to meet its purpose, providing notice through publication of a full agenda. The board should be especially careful to provide notice on the Route 53 extension because of its controversial nature. On a side note, I didn't see any publicly available agendas when I came in the room just for the media. That may have been my error, but having them publicly available here too would be very beneficial in a place that people could easily find them. CAC urges you that in the future, you make sure that your agenda reflects all items that are scheduled to be presented on and discussed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alvarez. Next is Mary Matthews. She is from Lake Forest. Ms. Matthews.
Good I'm here in response to many of the previous speakers. I also had heard that there were a number of people, Lake County officials and Lake County lobbyists, who were coming to talk during public comment period about Route 53. I am just a public citizen here to talk during public comment. I wanted to let you know that there is not consensus in Lake County for this road. That 75% number is maneuvered to look that way. That is not the truth. And when more people find out about the cost of this, the financing of this, the environmental damage of this, it is not going to be popular in Lake County, and I would suggest you not waste your money on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Matthews. We will now proceed to Mr. Mike Storino. He is from Itasca. He is with the Illinois Road Builders Association, and he would like to discuss retention policy. Mr. Storino.
Thank you, Chairman Schillerstrom, Director Bedlove, and members of the board. Great comments today on Route 53. I know I'm supposed to talk about retention, but I'll put a plug in for Route 53, having served on the Blue Ribbon Commission with a wide and diverse variety of stakeholders, including the environmental community. It's exciting that that project will be moving forward. On to something a little more, might seem a little more small scale for members of the audience, but it has a great big impact for the contracting community, whom I represent, thousands and thousands of workers, hundreds of companies, big and small, minority-owned, women-owned, and that the retention policy for years has served as a barrier to opportunity, addressing what the Reverend said earlier. For small businesses to have to wait for money for work that's been completed, it produces a major hardship upon them. Even for the larger companies, they have to build that into their bid price to carry that kind of cost. So to the extent you're looking at changing the policy, we're very excited, very grateful under the new leadership of the tollway that that you're taking this great step forward. It's going to help our minority women-owned business community, the larger contractors, produce a great quality product in a more cost-effective way. And again, I just wanted to thank the board for their consideration of this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Storino. Next, we have Mr. Bob Israel. He is from Chicago, and he is with Save Our Community Coalition, and he would like to discuss black contractors and tradesmen and community hiring. Mr. Israel.
Yes, sir.
How you doing there? Yeah, I just was going over some numbers that I was looking at last month. It says since 2010, 16 million went to African American contractors. Now, out of 2.7 billion, I'm a mathematician. That's a horrendous number, as far as I'm concerned. 16 million, over 5 million. And I'm glad the road builders gentleman was here, too, because last board meeting, before you guys got here, we was trying to get a mentor protege program going. Just like he just mentioned, thousands and thousands of workers. I don't even think I see 100 African-American workers out there. So I just wish this board could take consideration that my community is hemorrhaging. We need jobs, contracts, and opportunities. And particularly the road builders and IAC, Dairy Rock, I know them perfectly. He's not extending their opportunities. I know when he came to Englewood, one of the hardest hit communities in the world. Only thing he let out was a $100,000 security contract out of $100 million. I mean, that's horrendous. So if he does that in Englewood, I can imagine what he's doing in Lake County, Southern Cook County, Northern Cook County. So I just come here to really please this board. I've been coming here for 3 years to see if we can do some major overhauling, to see if we can get African-American black people out here working. That's all I can ask. I don't know who represents District 1. You guys just gave a technical assistance contract to some other districts, but District 1 is doing no technical assistance that I know of. So it's just like radio silence over in District 1, which is, I think, Chicago and Cook County. So if we can just start getting some major improvement on African-American workers and contractors, it'd be greatly appreciated. I know I come out here by myself as a solo voice. I'm glad I see Reverend Crowder here. I'm trying not to bring none of my friends out here, but I'm just wanting to try to see if I could talk to you guys with an olive branch and see if we can make some major changes.
Thank you, Mr. Ruggiero.
Well, all right, those are all the yellow cards that I have received. If there's anyone else in the audience who did not fill out a yellow card or came in late and didn't hear that you have to fill out a yellow card, now would be the time to come forward if you wish to address the board. All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to proceed on with our agenda, but before I do that, I'd like to just sort of clarify public comment. There seems to be a misconception that at the last meeting there was a presentation made that was not on the agenda. That is not true. It was a statement that was made under public comment, and no one on this board or on the tollway staff screens public comment. We let anyone who wants to come speak to us and discuss essentially whatever they wish. And if somebody wants to talk about Route 53, they have every right to do it. If somebody wants to talk about the Open Meetings Act, they have every right to do it. Obviously, if it is not on our agenda, and nothing was on our agenda at the last time, we will not be addressing it. So it is very clear that at the last meeting there was not a presentation made by Lake County that was that should have been on our agenda or that we even knew about before. So with that, I will conclude public comment, and we will move on to items under the chairman's part of the meeting. I would like to point out for the record that Director Dotson and Brooks are here for the minutes. And at this point, we will proceed to consideration of the minutes of the regular board meeting held on August 27, 2015. I believe you all have a copy of those. May we have a motion to put those on the floor.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, alterations, or changes that wish to be made to these minutes? Hearing nothing, may we have a roll call, please?
Director Sweeney?
Here.
Director Sauer?
Aye.
Director Banks?
Aye.
Secretary Blankenhorn?
Aye.
Director Brooks?
Aye.
Director Dotson?
Aye.
Director Gomez?
Aye.
Director Johnson?
Aye.
Chairman Schillerstrom?
Aye.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Very well. The minutes of the regular board meeting of August 27, 2015 are approved as presented. We will proceed to item number 2, which is consideration of the minutes of the executive session of the Board of Directors meeting for August 27th. I would ask that that would be deferred until after the executive session that we have, so if there's any discussion that needs to be made, we may make it in executive session as the law allows. No objection, we will proceed to agenda item number 3. We are honored and happy today to have our friend Secretary of IDOT, Randy Blankenhorn, here. As you know, he is an ex officio member of this board, and we welcome you as a board member, and we welcome you in your position with IDOT. Randy is a transportation professional. He has spent his career with IDOT and was the first director of the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. So he understands the fact that Illinois is a transportation center. It has been a transportation center throughout its history. It has grown because of its location, and investing in infrastructure has been very important to our past, our present, and our future. He also understands that it's very important that we look at the transportation system as a system, and that elected and appointed officials work together. If we don't work together, we are not doing our jobs. He understands that we don't have the liberty anymore in Illinois to silo our agencies, and that if we work together, we better serve our constituents. So we are very happy that the Secretary has agreed to say a few words to us today. So, Secretary Blankenhorn, I turn it over to you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, and you said everything I wanted to say, so I guess. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the past several weeks talking about what the future of transportation looks like and how it's our belief that transportation is going to look different than it does today. The future will be different, and how do we think about that system together? And it is a system. Chairman Schillerstrom is right that if a public doesn't care if it's my road or your road, the public doesn't care if it's a local road or a state road. The public wants a quality transportation system, and we have to work together to do that. And we are working together. It's nice to be back working with so many of you that I've known over the years in this new capacity But it is a chance, excuse me, for us to really build those relationships into something new and different. When we look at tomorrow's transportation system, there are three big things that occur to me. One is technology change. You know, the connected cars, autonomous vehicles, are not the Jetsons any longer. They are here. When Google got into the game changed. And we are seeing things around the world and around the country that are happening in technology that my goal is to bring that research here to Illinois. How do we make sure that we are doing the kind of research that keeps us on the cutting edge as a state, as a region, about how we are able to move the needle on technology and transportation? The second is communications. I asked a question the other day about our overhead message signs, and I said, is that what we really need in the future? Is it really how many minutes it takes to get downtown or to the next interchange? Or is it really, what are my choices? What are my options? How do I get around in a different way? I'm not sure I need an overhead message sign when someone has a phone that can tell me exactly the best way to get there and how soon to do it. And I think we have to think about these communication devices in a new way. How do we communicate to the public in real-time information how they make better decisions? The public isn't sitting in traffic congestion because they want to. If we give them better choices, if we give them better information, they will make better choices. And I think we have to provide that to them. The third is demographics. We have an aging population that wants to stay here. I tell the story all the time that I don't want my mother to move to Florida and Arizona. I want her to be able to stay here. And sooner rather than later, I'm going to have to take a driver's license away. So how do we make sure that we have a transportation system that can accommodate that? How can we accommodate young people who are traveling at a much less rate than we have in the past, that think about transportation differently, that think about how they get around in a different way? How do we make sure that we are thinking about the young and the old and a transportation system that accommodates both? We've been innovative in this state. We have been leaders in innovation in the state, and the tollway has been an incredible leader in it. From open world tolling, which was just an incredible thing that happened here several years ago, the active traffic management system that you're putting in on I-90 is, you know, cutting edge for the United States, and we've got to continue to do those things. We just jointly had a press conference last Friday at a new kind of interchange, a divergent diamond interchange, that is going to be safer, that's going to move people more efficiently. These are the things that we want to work together with you about. We want to work together to find solutions for tomorrow, not for today. So, from our perspective, how do we move some of these things? We are looking at funding options. We're looking at how we deal with sustainable funding, but we're also looking at how we manage this system. Express bowl lanes, as you all know, are on my agenda. It's something that I'm very interested in. And how do we partner with the tollway to make sure that we have a system that works together? What is our relationship in toll collection on something like that? How do we think about the back office that you already do? Why would we want to do that? How can we create a partnership to work together on what I think is tomorrow's transportation system? I think there's a real opportunity there. Finally, I would like to say it is all about cooperation and coordination. Our staffs have worked together well for a long, long time. Despite what some people say, they talk every day. These guys are talking to our team every day, and they're doing a good job of working things out. We're starting to have conversations at the executive level. Bob and I talk every month. We get together and meet. Greg and I have talked about every week since he started, I think. It is an opportunity for us to work together in bigger and better ways. And you have my pledge that IDOT is going to be your partner. We're going to be a good partner, and we're going to help you do the things that you need to do because that will help the system of the state of Illinois. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to speak.
Well, thank you, Secretary, and you also have our pledge that we look forward to working with you. Clearly, both of our agencies are better if we work together, and I think I speak for this board and the entire staff when I say we look forward to doing great things with you and IDOT.
So, thank you.
Thank you for being here, and please come again. All righty, we will move on to committee reports, and Director Gomez, do you wish to report anything over and above what is on the agenda today?
Yes, I do. At the September 14 Finance Administration Operation Committee meeting, 4 finance items, 4 procurement items, 12 engineering items, and 3 legal items were reviewed and approved for placement on today's board agenda for consideration. One engineering item and one legal item were deferred to executive session of the full board for consideration at today's meeting. There was one change to procurement item 4, which Mr. Donato will further explain for the benefit of the directors today.
Sure, thank you, Chair Gomez. So after the award, we realized that the vendor that was awarded wasn't registered with the State Board of Election as required by the procurement code. So we're now rescinding that resolution that was presented, and we are going to put that contract back out in the street in the next couple of weeks and rebid it. So instead of amending the resolution, we're rescinding it in its entirety.
So we're not going to address it today? Is that what you mean by rescinding it?
Yeah, because originally the board had approved that resolution in July, a couple months ago. Okay. So we're just going to rescind that whole resolution.
Okay, got you. All right. Anything else, Director Gomez?
No, that's it. Thank you.
I have no additional report for the Customer Service and Planning Committee other than the agenda items that we will address later in the meeting. So we will proceed to agenda item number 5, which is the approval of creation of a Diversity and Inclusion Board Committee. As you know, when we took a look at our rules a little bit earlier in the year and made some changes for the creation of additional committees, ad hoc committees, because we thought it might be important when special issues come up that we could create a committee to focus on those particular issues. And today we propose an ad hoc diversity committee to look at our diversity program and to see if there are ways that we can make changes. We are interested in being on the cutting edge on this. I personally believe, and I know that many of you believe, that jobs are one of the most important things that an individual can have. Without a job, individuals have a difficult time sometimes supporting themselves. With a job, you can support yourself, you can support your family, you can contribute to the economy, you can contribute to your community, and it is very important for your self-worth. And that is true for all people, regardless of race, ethnicity, religious background. Everybody needs, and almost everybody wants, a job. And one of the things that I think the government can do, has done, and should do, and especially this particular government is doing and should do, is to create an environment where jobs can be created and where people can have access to jobs. And certainly here at the Tollway, we are spending somewhere between $8 and $13 million a day on the Move Illinois program. So there are many, many jobs created by what we do here. We are going to have a fine program because we are improving our transportation system, but in the process of doing that, we are contributing greatly to our economy and creating many, many jobs and giving people the opportunity to have jobs who may not without this program. So I think it's important that we take a look at our diversity policy, and I think we have a good one, but like with many things, I think it can always be better. And my hope here is that this committee will drill down and come up with a program that gives minorities, veterans, and women the opportunity to have jobs because of our tollway projects. And if we have problems because there has not been adequate training, then we have to find ways to train people so that they can fill these jobs. If attitude is a problem, we have to figure out a way to change that. We have an opportunity to create many jobs and to bring many people into the workforce that have not been there before, and that is the goal of this committee, is to put more minorities, more women, and more veterans to work. So I want to thank Corey Brooks, Director Brooks, who has agreed to be the chairman of this, and I want to thank Director Dodson, Director Gomez, Director Gonzalez, and Director Sweeney, who have agreed to serve on the committee. There is a resolution in front of you that we will soon vote on. And also, whatever assets they need from the tollway, whether it be from our legal staff, from our staff in general, from other members of the board,
They are at your disposal, and we look forward to your committee coming up with ways to create more jobs for minorities and for women and for veterans. So I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution that is in front of you creating this committee at this point.
Motion. Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, questions, or concerns? If not, may we have a roll call, please?
Director Sweeney?
Yes.
Director Gomez?
Yes.
Director Banks?
Aye.
Secretary Blankenhorn?
Yes.
Director Brooks?
Yes.
Director Gomez?
Yes. Oh,
excuse me, Director Dotson?
Aye.
Director Johnson?
Aye.
Director Sauer?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We have 9 yeas and 0 nays.
Very well. The resolution creating the ad hoc diversity committee with Corey Brooks, with Director Brooks as chairman, and Director Dotson, Gomez, and Gonzalez, and Sweeney as members is created. And I thank you for agreeing to undertake this. We will now proceed to the executive director's report, and I will turn it over to Executive Director Bettel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Several items for review and discussion today, beginning with a presentation by the Illinois State Police Heritage Foundation. In July of this year, the Illinois Tollway Headquarters served as a starting point for the 8th annual Illinois State Police Heritage Run. This motorcycle run is hosted by our very own State Police District 15 to memorialize those officers that we have lost over the years. In addition, the ride acts as a fundraiser for the Illinois State Police Memorial Wall currently being built in Springfield. Here with us today is Illinois State Police District 15 Acting Commander Bob Meter, Ed Baker, a member of the ISP Memorial Park Committee and a retired captain from the Illinois State Police, as well as Kevin Lentz, President of Knight Engineers and Architects, which is providing pro bono engineering and architectural services for the design of the Illinois State Police Memorial Park. I would like to recognize these three gentlemen and invite Lieutenant Meter to the podium at this point to say a few words. Lieutenant Meter.
Good morning. On behalf of the Illinois State Police and the Heritage Foundation, I would like to thank the Illinois Tollway and Jim Wolf and Kevin Lentz of Knights Engineering for assisting in making the Illinois State Police Memorial Park a reality. Over 8 years ago, members of the Heritage Foundation sat down with Mr. Wolf expressing their vision of building a memorial park for fallen ISP officers. Without hesitation, Mr. Wolf stated he could make the design happen. Mr. Wolf's team looked at the history of the ISP and with their expertise designed what will be the Illinois State Police Memorial Park. Now it was the foundation's responsibility to ascertain funding for this endeavor. For the past 5 years, the Illinois Tollway has been the host location for the northern portion of the state for the annual ISP Memorial Park Motorcycle and Fun Car Run fundraiser. The Tollway has absorbed the logistics associated with the largest contingencies of the ride. Without the Tollway's assistance, the motorcycle ride would not be such a success. Year after year, funds in excess of $50,000 are generated during this event. As we understand, these funds will not solely build the park. However, it brings awareness to the visions and develops leads to major supporters. Due to the accommodations of this event, participants state that they have marked it on their calendar for next year. In 2015, the attendance of the event grew to more than 500 riders. Just fewer than 400 of them had kickstands up at this location. At this time, I would like to draw your attention to the alcove for the rendering of the vision of the ISP Memorial Park.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Meter. I would now like to invite yourself, Kevin Lentz, Ed Burke, and all the members of the Board of Directors of the Tollway over to the alcove so we could get a commemorative photo of this wonderful planned memorial wall and integrity platform.
You are a member of the board.
You keep reminding me of that.
The flash?
Yeah, I've got to move the chairs first.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm short.
No,
it's really good.
I
would stay in the back.
Actually, guys, everyone on this side, you turn your left shoulder that way, and your right shoulder right.
All right, Director Brooks, can I get you to slide a little bit that way so I can see your face? I think I see everybody. All right, guys, here we go. I'm going to take four shots, two with this camera and two with that one, just to make sure we got it. Here we go. One, two, three. We go one, two, three.
There's three.
Black bone in this. Okay. Here we go, guys. One, two, three. Last one, guys. One, two, three. Thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank the Illinois State Police Memorial Park Committee for presenting us with this rendering. We wish the Illinois State Police continued success in making this memorial site a reality for the families, the friends, and Illinois State Police members who have lost loved ones, friends, and co-workers. The Illinois Tollway knows firsthand about the difficult and sometimes dangerous work District 15 troopers do every day on the Illinois Tollway. They patrol our roadways to assist and protect our customers and our employees. We couldn't safely operate our system without them, so we are very grateful for what they do. And this rendering will serve as a reminder to all of us at the Tollway of our ongoing partnership with the State Police. So, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Do they have, is there an ongoing fundraising outside the event that could be out there for people to donate to? Is there some way that that can be distributed to the directors, if you don't mind, a way to reach out? And
sure, the Heritage Foundation. You go on to the Heritage Foundation.
Mr. Baker, could I direct you to the microphone, please? We want as many people to hear this as possible.
Yes. If you take the link to the Heritage Foundation, you can. It'll have information there about donations to the Memorial Park. The co-chairman, Jack Garcia, the Memorial Park, and former first deputy from the State Police couldn't be here today, but he wanted to be sure that you all understood this is not possible without your support. The drive and the dedication of these officers that are here and our partners are only possible because of you. So, thank you so much.
And what is the number of your goal?
If I can add something, do you mind if I...
No, go ahead.
We are October 17th. October 17th, we are having another one. We have two major fundraisers for the Memorial Park.
October 17th, we have another one, which will be at a private residence in Oak Brook. At that event, we are going to unveil, we actually established a GoFundMe account to try to generate more funds for it. We are going to unveil that next week. So what I can do, if you wish, I can send Lieutenant Meter the information, and then once that is established up and going, that is a way to donate. Or it also will allow you information about Memorial Park and to give you status as to where we're at. At this point, we need $3.2 million, and we're just at 1.8. So we are making headway. In a couple of weeks, there will be starting to, the land that's in Springfield, they're going to start to demo, clean it all up so that it shows that we are starting to make progress with the funds that we have so far. We have some major donors that once we start doing that, we'll say, okay, you know, see where we're at and to move forward.
Well, thank you, and please do keep us
I will send it. Once it's live, it's just not, we have to get other approvals for it.
There
but
you go.
That will be a way for us to get it out more, like to people to say, this is what we're doing and where we're at, instead of just constantly cold-calling people, which unfortunately is probably, you guys know, capital donations right now is at an all-time low. So nobody wants to do that anymore, so we have to try some other ways to do it.
Thank you. Mr. Bedlow.
Here again, Mr. Chairman. A couple of items before we get into our presentations from staff. Last Saturday, the Illinois Tollway and the Illinois State Police again hosted the 8th Annual Family Safety Fair here at the Tollway headquarters. I was fortunate enough to be able to stop by for a couple hours. It was great to see all the people and families that came out to this enormously successful event. The weather cooperated, the clouds broke, and we had a great day. I'd like to thank all of the Tollway and State Police employees who were here to serve our customers. District 15 Police issued a record-breaking 160 ID cards for children and inspected 60 child safety seats. We nearly doubled those numbers from last year. That's kind of the purpose of the event, is to make sure child safety seats are installed correctly and provide IDs for parents and loved ones and guardians for children. We're happy to support efforts to keep children safe on our Illinois roadways every trip, every time. So again, thank you to everyone who was involved with that event. Additionally, earlier this month, we hosted a free networking and pre-bid conference event in Rockford and here in Downers Grove to inform general contractors and others about opportunities available through our new Job Order Contracting Facilities Program, better known as our JOC program. Special thanks to Director Dotson for hosting the event out in Rockford. Really appreciate the director coming out and supporting the businesses out there. We had a great turnout with more than 170 altogether attending the events to learn more about how they can get involved in tollway facility construction, repairs, and rehabilitation. We look forward to getting some bids on this work very soon, and this is really intended to help us expedite the process for doing maintenance on our facilities and speeding up the bidding process. Continuing on, we have several presentations today, beginning with our debt management update. Several board members have asked for an update on debt management. This morning, Mike Kelch, our Chief of Finance, is here to provide us with a debt management update in preparation for several items on today's agenda related to the financing of our 15-year, $12 billion Move Illinois program. Mike has prepared an overview and is here to answer questions on financial advisory services, assignment of bond underwriting groups, and our request for authorization for the next bond issuances coming up this year. Mike.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our executive director mentioned we do have a 15-year, $12 billion capital improvement program. A lot of work being done, a lot of good work being done. That plan was approved back in 2011. That plan was also included a financial plan. That financial plan included approval of a toll rate structure, as well as some issuance of debt bonds that would supplement those toll revenues, which would be sufficient to fund the program over that 15-year period. That capital financing plan assumed we would issue approximately $5 billion of bonds over the life of the program. To date, we've issued about $1.8 billion of bonds. In fact, because of our strong credit ratings and good market, have been able to issue that debt at a slightly lower cost than we had anticipated. We had anticipated about 5.5% cost of borrowing for the bonds that we issued has been about 4.2% to date. The board has periodically authorized bonds. They didn't authorize the full $5 billion at the outset. They've periodically authorized bonds. We're at the point where we're requesting an additional authorization of $800 million to continue that financing program. The reason we're requesting that authorization today is that we have a $400 million bond issue that we're planning to issue in the fourth quarter of this year, probably December, and a $300 million bond issue planned for the first or the second quarter of 2016. Again, all necessary to fund the ongoing improvements in Moog, Illinois. We've actually asked for $800 million of authorization. If the market's really positive, we might want to get access a little more debt earlier because we know we'll be in the market for more bonds later. This will fund the next, we'll provide authorization for the next two bond issues. This authorization that will be acted on today authorizes the issuance of the bonds. It also authorizes the chairman to execute the bond purchase agreement, a supplemental indenture, other documents that are necessary to affect the bond issue, as well as authorize other officers of the tollway to take actions necessary to make this come to fruition. We will, as a part of this authorization, be asking to rescind $200 million of an old authorization that we haven't utilized. Again, part of the financial issuance process involves a number of different parties. One of those parties is financial advisors. And back in 2012, the board approved a financial advisor pool that included PFM Group, which was an ongoing financial advisor available throughout the year.